I began to pray months ago about, Lord, just kind of give me a word for Grad Sunday. Give me a word for the seniors, but also give me a word for the church. Because I recognize and realize there's more than just five seniors in the room. And I mean more than five senior adults. There are more than five graduating seniors, and we want the word that we preach on a daily basis and a regular basis to be for anyone and everyone. And so I believe that this sermon this morning is for you if you are in this room and you consider yourself a follower of Christ. I sat down to write this sermon and begin to type it out, and I realized that I had intentions of doing about 10 verses. But my intentions were never fulfilled because in two verses, I was just moved by the Holy Spirit of what God can communicate in two verses. The challenge that he spoke through Paul to the Colossians was moving to me, and what he was calling these believers to do, what he was reminding these believers of. And so if you have your Bibles, Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7, it'll also be on the screen. It says this, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Let's read it one more time. "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." We see in verse 6, if you're new with us or you've never heard me preach before, I like to just kind of work through the verse and see what the full meaning of it is and what God is communicating through his word that he tells us is active and sharp. And the first thing that we see there is Paul's writing and he's saying, as you receive Christ Jesus your Lord. Paul's making a point there. He's making a statement there to say, hey, I want to remind you of your salvation experience. I want to remind you of the day that you surrendered your life to Christ. I remember for me, it was Mother's Day, Ridgewood Baptist Church, tent revival. I was 12 years old. I was on the front pew, and I stepped two steps out and responded to the invitation. That was my salvation experience. That wasn't my salvation. My salvation was in Jesus. That was me responding to the call that God was drawing me to him. And he had continued to do that for years as I was a child. And as I see in this word, Paul is setting them up to remind them of some things. He was setting them up to remind them to walk in him, to walk in Christ. That there's never a season of your life, there's never a break when you commit yourself to them that you take a break from walking in him. That it's a constant thing that we do. Really, in simpler terms, Paul was communicating them to continue to follow Christ. Don't we need that reminder sometimes? Hey, don't forget your salvation. Don't forget to continue to walk in him. I know I do. I'm a distracted person. And I know I have a tendency to lose focus of what's important. And what's important is my salvation and my relationship with Jesus. And Paul was writing this letter. He was writing this to a distracted church. See, what had happened were false teachers were coming in and they were beginning to undermine who Jesus was. They were beginning to undermine the work of Jesus and the deity of Christ. And they were beginning to teach all these things that weren't true. And Paul's saying, hey, listen, you're engaging with them. You're giving them an opportunity just to speak to you. You're wavering a little bit in your faith. Let me remind you of your salvation and let me remind you to walk in him. Paul was writing to a distracted church. With all due respect, I think I'm talking to a distracted church. I think that isn't the case for just First Baptist Church Wildwood. I think that that's the case across the board, that the church has a tendency to be distracted with things that they find of more value, of more importance. See, we get distracted by our agendas and our schedules and our priorities or what we think we're going to find fulfillment in. We begin to be distracted by those things, and our focus is taking off of our relationship with Jesus and often walking with him to a place where God never intended it to be. A place where God never intended it to be more value than that relationship that you have with him. I'm a person who, I'm a clean freak. I take like 3 showers a day. I just like to be clean. But if all of us were to walk out of these doors right now and start pouring rain, I will promise you, I will be more drenched than anybody else. I will be more wet than anybody else. If we were to all walk through a puddle of mud, I promise you, I will be muddier than anybody else that walks through that puddle of mud. It just happens every time. But I give you that illustration, that picture, to connect what Paul is communicating when he's saying walk in him. Because when I walk through the rain, I get wet. When I walk through the mud, I get muddy. When I walk in him, I become like him. Do you see the picture that Paul is trying to get them to respond to? He's saying, this was your salvation when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but I'm reminding you to walk in him and allow your time with him to be able to become more like him, so that you live like him, you talk like him, you act like him. Here's another one that I'm learning to do. You respond like him. And so Paul is saying, when you walk with Jesus, you become more like Jesus. Think a second, if you know the Bible of anything, think of the 12 disciples. Man, their time with him was a time where they engaged to become like him, to live like him, to live in obedience as he lived in obedience. And so Paul is really setting you up in verse 6 for verse 7 to say, I want you to walk in him, and here's are some things that you need to do in order to walk in him. The first, rooted. Rooted. Think of the phrase laying down roots. You've heard that before, right? Somebody is establishing themselves, they're moving to a place, and they're putting down roots, and they plan on staying there for a while or forever. They plan on being in that place and in that spot for the foreseeable future. And so when Paul says rooted, he's saying, hey, listen, you have laid down roots in Christ, that you've established yourself, that you placed yourself there. And you have no desire to move away. You are committed to something there, so therefore you have roots there. This is a picture of salvation. When you have surrendered your life to Christ, there were roots that were established. I had to do some YouTube research. That's the research that we do today, right? You can almost fix anything, build anything off of YouTube. It's wild. And so I began to look at some stuff about gardening and farming because... As you can probably tell, I don't own a pair of boots, and that's just not what I do. But what I did and what I learned in my research, which was somewhat interesting, was that when you put a seed in the ground, the first thing that happens, it does not grow upward, but the first thing that pops out of there is a root. That's the first thing that happens. You don't begin to see this beautiful garden or these beautiful flowers. If you were to dig it up, you would see a root hanging out of it, trying to establish itself somewhere, to plant itself somewhere in an effort not to be moved. I remember as a kid, my parents had these shrubs, these bushes in front of the house. And I hated this certain season, and for lack of a better word, they would smell like poop. And I would remember, like, looking around the bushes to try to see if somebody had, like, somebody's dog was just squatting in our yard, like, what was going on. Because every time I walked by there, I would literally gag a little bit. And I'm like, these things smell disgusting. We need to do something about these. And so I pleaded with my parents. I'm like, it's embarrassing when we have people come over and it smells like poop in our front yard. Can we do something about this? Can we move these things? Can we remove them? And then finally my dad was like, you can. Right? Not like we can, but you can. If that's something that you want to do, you can go remove them, but I'm going to bring you something basically to put back in there, to plant there. And so I remember these bushes were tall, and they had been there for a while. Man, I go out there, and I'm trying to pull these things out. I think I'm a hero, trying to pull these things out of the ground. It's not happening. They're not moving. So I trim them down, and I'm like, all right, maybe a little weight off there, I can get them out of there. And I'm sitting and pulling there, and I'm pretty sure my parents were inside laughing at me as I was going through this. And finally, I came to my dad, and I'm like, Pops, listen, I need some help, all right? I need you to come out and help me to figure out how to do this. And I saw my truck, and I'm like, let's just pull these things out. And that was fun. We strapped on the strap to the bushes and put it on the truck, and we started yanking these things out of the ground. But they were not planning to be moved, right? They had established themselves in the front lawn of our house, right in front of our exterior wall, and they weren't planning on going anywhere. They had established a root system there that was deep and that was strong, and they had begun to grow upward to be built up, and they weren't planning to be moved. That's why it was hard to get them out of the ground. That's what Paul was saying here. He's saying, listen, as people become in and teach all this other junk and all this other mess and try to distract you from the things of God and the way of God, don't be distracted. Don't be moved from your relationship with Jesus. Be rooted there. Establish yourself there. Plant yourself there. See, the Root's main job, I had to Google this part of my sermon, the Root's main job is to take whatever is, take the water and dissolved nutrients from the soil and transport it to different parts of the plant. It also serves as an anchor and holds the plant in place. So when you think of the idea, when Paul's saying, hey, be rooted in Christ, he's saying, one, you're going to get your nutrients, you're going to be fed from that relationship with Christ. By being rooted there, you are going to be fed from being rooted. But not only that, you'll be anchored. You won't be moved because of that relationship with Him. Roots are vital to our growth, but Paul deals with this as a first step to a right relationship with God. That you root yourself, that you plant yourself in Christ and say that I will not be moved because I have surrendered myself to Him. The second thing that we see that Paul says in verse 7 is he said, hey, remind you of your salvation, walk in Him, be rooted, and be built up in Him. Before you're ever going to be built up, if ever you're going to grow, you got to be rooted, right? We just kind of discussed that. And so Paul is discussing, he's saying, I want to encourage growth in you. I've told this group of students over here multiple times that I do not have a green thumb. What I plant always dies. There's not a sometimes dies, it always dies. And I realize and I understand why it dies. Two reasons, really one reason, under the umbrella of discipline. I don't water them, and I don't take the time to figure out what I should plant them in order for them to have a good foundation to take root where they are. I know that. I understand that, and I have no problem admitting that. But the point is discipline. I don't discipline myself enough to put in the work and the time to see these things grow and to be built up. It's the same idea with the church, is that we don't necessarily lack a discipleship problem as much as we lack a discipline problem. If we were to take spiritual disciplines seriously, and what I mean by spiritual disciplines is studying God's word, praying, fasting, serving, just to name a few, things that Jesus did, then naturally through our spiritual disciplines, we will become more like Christ. We will be built up in Christ. Our roots are in Christ, we're walking in Christ, and we are built up in Christ. I love Hebrews 12:11. It says this, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant." That's the truth. I mean, we look at the United States of America. You've seen news segments on it. You've seen articles about it that the United States of America is a obese country, that we're either not willing to discipline ourselves in the gym or we're not willing to discipline ourselves at the table, period. I'm not excluded from that. I just had a meeting with the teenagers a couple months ago now about D.C., and we're going to be walking a lot, and I'm like, hey, listen, I don't want to hear anybody complaining, so you go ahead and prepare yourself now. And as I said that, I looked down at my stomach and said, I probably need to get my gym membership reactivated because I need to discipline myself to prepare myself to do what I need to do. And I think that that's the same idea here that the author of Hebrews is communicating. He's saying, listen, discipline is painful for a few seasons. But guess what? Later, man, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained in it. That our discipline in God's word and our discipline to pray and our discipline to serve, eventually, guess what disciplines become? Habits. You do them because it's something that you know you should do in that moment. Jesus, when he was being tempted by the enemy, he began to pray, right? He began to quote scripture. He was using these spiritual disciplines for what they were, to grow that relationship with the Father, to lean into that relationship with the Father. And so when we look at this verse and it says they're painful for a season, really, but it yields something later on, is that we can't look at ourselves and say, oh, well, I'm rooted here, there's no reason for me to do anything else. No, God's word tells us that once you root yourself there, once you plant yourselves there, that you begin to be built up, that you begin to grow. Because you've put yourself in a place to lean in to what God has for you and what God desires for you. The spiritual disciplines produce fruit in our lives. Begin to look like Christ, to live like Christ, and to be like Christ. With the proper care, we grow and are built up into everything God wants us to be. Apart from discipline, we simply will never be built up. When we discipline ourselves to do the things that God has called us to do, man, we begin to then grow into everything God desires for us to be. The next thing Paul writes is, he says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith just as you were taught. Established in the faith just as you were taught. This is the idea of being stable in one's faith. Let me give you a way to connect this. This is where my brain kept going. I look at the word established as a relationship, okay? And I think that in the confounds of friends, dating, and marriage, right? And eventually, you start off as friends, and you begin those conversations, and you get to know each other, and you begin to then maybe fall in love with one another. And what happens is the idea of being established is you begin to give yourself a title, right? For that title, for some generations in the room, was courting, or maybe it was going steady. For others in the room, it was going out, and some just were boring and they used dating. And so the idea was they established a title, and what that did was put that relationship in a whole different area of your life, correct? Now there were different things. Like, you didn't expect that person to flirt and date other people. You guys were an item. You were connected. And so what I see here is this idea of being established, that you establish a title, you've established this relationship. And when one establishes themselves in their walk with Christ, the point is they are unwavering between who they are committed to. Just as when they put the title on your relationship, you no longer are free to float around from one person to another, but rather you've established it that you are committed to one person. Can I take you back and remind you what Paul was dealing with? Believers who had accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, accepted who Jesus was, but were wavering between the gospel that Paul had preached and the false teachings of the people that were coming in. They were wavering back and forth. They were trying to figure out, where do I stand? And what do I do? Where do I go? We all know a person or an individual who can never keep job stability, right? I see smiles on faces because your names are popping into your heads. There's that person that we know that they can't keep job stability. What happens is they work from one place a month and then the next place a month, and here's what happens. One or two things. There's always something wrong with the place that they work, right? Or there's always a better opportunity that looks so much more promising. Are y'all with me? Well, this is the same thing that was happening with the church. That they had accepted this gospel that Paul had taught that was true, the real good news, but when these people came in, they're like, oh, that looks kind of good. That sounds good. Think with me for a second, prosperity gospel, right? The name it and claim it. That sounds good. That sounds great, but at the end of the day, that's not true. God's word tells us that. And so when we look at an example of false teaching, is that when that comes in and begins to rub on us, we need to be solid and established in our faith, just as we've been taught to, from a child up into adulthood, that we've matured in our walk with Christ. We're no longer on the elementary teachings or the milk of the word, if you would, but rather we've established ourselves on solid food, and we are firmly rooted in a place that says, I know what I believe, and I know why I believe it, and I will stand on that. Paul was continued, and he finished this verse, and he said, rooted and built up in him and established in him the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. This is a never-ending process of abounding in thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for our gift of salvation. I've learned something, and I want you to hear this. When I look at myself, I don't look at myself as a super intelligent person. I struggle with the academic side of things. I struggle to enjoy to read. I've always struggled with just with that side of my brain. And so I have to work, and there's some kids over here who they don't have to do any homework. They just make straight A's, right? Like, they don't have to try is what I'm trying to say. And there's some that have to try a lot. They have to put in a lot of effort because it doesn't just come naturally. I was one of those kids that it just didn't come naturally. I had to work really hard to get good grades. And it didn't happen very often, if I'm honest with you. The point that I'm trying to make is I found that in my relationship with Christ, the more I discipline myself, man, the more that God reveals himself to me. The more that I dig into God's word, the more that I try to plant myself and establish myself in faith to know God and to grow deeper in that relationship, the more I begin to understand his character, his work, and the ministry of Christ, man, the more thankful that I am. I believe that our thanksgiving is poured out during worship and through serving others and loving others the way that God communicates us to. That's the way that we give thanks to God. But it's disciplining ourselves and spending time with him. Paul establishes these characteristics in an effort to get the readers to understand that when we walk in Christ, we are rooted in Christ, we are built up in Christ, we're established in Christ, then it's far less likely that we will be moved or give thought or attention to the teachings or traditions that take away from the work of Christ. My challenge for you this morning, seniors, if you've moved across the room, is this. Your faith journey never ends. It's a progression that happens over time, and with much, much discipline, attention, and effort, you will grow up by growing deeper. My challenge for you is that you will never forget your salvation experience and let it always be a reminder for you to walk in Christ, to grow in Christ, and to be thankful for Christ. For the church, you're not off the hook. My challenge for you is that a relationship, a thriving relationship with Christ, happens more than just for 30 minutes in a sermon on a Sunday morning. See, here's the problem, and I truly believe this. Some of us feel that we're doing God a favor by showing up here. You're not at all doing him a favor. You're doing what you should do. Some of you feel that you're disciplined, your spiritual discipline is carving out a couple hours a week to spend time with God's people. That's not really discipline to me. I think it's a part and it's a start, don't get me wrong. But I think that that's an everyday growing relationship. Here's the deal. If I talk to Mary Hannah for 30 minutes in every week, how deep would my relationship with her be? Not very deep. So when we claim to, when Paul says, hey, walk in him and spend time in him and grow in him, grow that relationship by being disciplined and having conversation and growing in his word and doing the things that God calls us to, it is then that we establish ourselves in a faith that we don't waver, that we don't move. The next verse in verse 8, we don't have it in there, but it talks about, hey, listen, oh, we do have it in there. Oh, boy. See that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the element spirits of the word, not according to Christ. Stephen coming in clutch for me. Here's the deal, guys. Paul continues this thought to say, here, there's going to be people, high school students, middle school students, college students, there are going to be people who try to teach you these philosophies when you get in their college classes. I've read article after article where college professors and Pastor Craig could come up and give you even more information than me, where they try to get you to abandon your beliefs in Christianity. But when you're rooted, when you're established, you don't move. One professor does this. He challenges every student, if they're a believer, and it's almost a God's not dead moment, but he says, hey, if you're a believer in the room, stand up. He said usually about 75% of the class will stand up. This is a professor at the University of North Carolina. 75% of the room will stand up, and he says this. He goes, I promise you by the end of this semester, at the end of the semester when I ask you the same question, none of you will be standing. And you know why? We make these noises of like discontent, but it's not a student thing. It's a church thing, because people haven't disciplined themselves to know God's word. They haven't disciplined themselves to grow that relationship with God where they're rooted and established, where they're not wavering. And some of us want to talk like we want this generation to, hey, stay firm in your faith, but they're looking at you and saying, you're distracting. You're saying, you take me to learn all this scripture, but what are you memorizing? You encourage me to read God's word, but when do I see you reading God's word? You encourage me to give thanks and worship to God, but I don't ever see you giving thanks and worshiping God. See, there's this lack of a gap where we expect younger students or teenagers are not. This is not on the script, so I apologize. This is just the Holy Spirit lead me to a place where we expect that this generation to do something ourselves wouldn't do. I read a book this week about discipleship in preparation for our beach retreat, and this was a phrase that was said in there by Dr. Alan Jackson from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. He said, "You cannot lead a person to a place you've never been." You cannot lead a person to a place that you've never been. So if you're trying to make a disciple, but you aren't being discipled yourself, if you're trying to teach disciplines, but you yourself are not disciplined, that's impossible. Because you have to go there first. You have to do those things first to be able to teach it. I couldn't teach you the game of basketball, but Derek Phillips could get on the court and teach you. I can't. Why? He's played it. He's done it. And that's the same thing that Paul is saying. He's saying you've established yourself, you've planted yourself, you have firmly put yourself in this relationship with Jesus so that you do not waver. You're not distracted. You're not moved by the things that want to take your attention off of Jesus. When we hear the word discipline, for some of us, myself, there's a whole lot of spankings and bad memories that are involved in that word. Right? But when we see discipline for what it really is, it's a gift from God. It's not a discipline that says you're going to get a butt whooping because you didn't do what I asked you to do. No, discipline is an opportunity for us to grow this relationship that we're so undeserving of. My challenge for you this morning, church, is this. You walked in here, and maybe you're not rooted. You haven't surrendered your life to Jesus. You haven't given yourself to Him. Maybe the Lord's been working on your heart. He's been drawing you for a long time, and you're sitting there saying, man, I is this the day? Should I do this? Should I make this commitment? I'm not begging you to walk down front. We hang out in this church after the service is over. Please come talk to us. We want to just show you in God's word what it means to follow Jesus. If it's an intimidation thing to walking down front, we'd love to talk with you one-on-one. For some of you in here, you're saying, I need to be built up. I need to grow in my walk with Christ. I'm not doing anything in my life outside of this worship service to grow in my walk with Him. We have resources. We have people who would love to encourage you. Hey, there's this thing that we call small groups that we have here, Sunday Connection, that we would love to you to plug in and engage with a smaller group of people that are going to challenge you to grow in the Word of God. For some of you this morning, invitation, you just want it to be, hey, I just want to worship God. I want to give Him thanks through song. I want to give Him thanks through prayer. I don't know how you need to respond, but I believe that you do. I believe that God has told you, He's communicated how He desires for you to respond this morning to His word, not to my message. Don't for a second give me credit for God's word. You know how God's calling you to respond. Father, we come to you right now. God, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to love you, to serve you, to grow in you, to walk in you, Father. God, I pray that if there's someone in this room this morning that doesn't know you, that they don't have a relationship with you, that you would begin to break down walls in their life. God, and this morning they would be a seed that's planted in good soil in you, Father, and would grow to be everything that you desire for us to be.